Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be Amazing podcast. I'm your host, Seal. And again, I'm excited that you've joined me today for our next episode. But a couple reminders. One, Strong Camp Charlotte is happening May 22nd and 23rd here in Charlotte. It is February 22nd, and this is the last week of the early bird promo code. So if you want to get that 15% off, make sure you go and register before February ends. The promo code is early bird 2021. And then also stay tuned for registration opening up for the Be Amazing Weekend, which is happening October 15th and 16th, again, here in Charlotte at the Le Meridian Hotel. That's where we're going to have all of our amazing events. I hope that you'll join us for that, and stay tuned for more information coming your way. But what you can do is you can go to the Be Amazing Weekend website, drop your email so you can stay up to date on when registration opens. Now let's talk about my next guest. Her name is Suzanne Limpframed, and she is a fashion stylist, wardrobe consultant, and personal shopper. She's such an amazing person, and I love all of her tips. She's got great fashion tips that she's going to share with us and some tricks as well. We're also going to hear about her daily mantra of relentlessly moving forward and her passion for helping others look and feel their best. It stems from her own body image struggles that she had as a young teen. And her favorite fitness activity was tennis for many years, but she also tries to push herself outside of her comfort zone all the time. And recently she became a triathlete and ran her first half marathon in early 2020 before COVID hit. Get ready for a great conversation with Suzanne as we talk about evolving ourselves as we age and evolving our wardrobe along with us on the journey.
Welcome to the show, Suzanne. I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to have so much fun talking about fashion and clothes. I can't wait.
Which I'm all about fashion. And thank you for inviting me. I'm excited.
Well, before we jump into that, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay. So my name is Suzanne Limpframed, and I am a fashion stylist and personal shopper. I've had my business for almost 30 years, and I just absolutely love what I do. I work with men and women and teens and seniors and special needs, and I do everything from lifestyle dressing to dressing for special events or personal shopping or the whole gambit. And I've been in the industry long enough to see a lot of change.
Oh, I bet you have. Like, you've seen, like, you know, retro, or what we're wearing is retro now, like when that first started, I'm sure, like 80s, yes. 90s, and like how fashion has evolved. I think it's so cool.
And it does evolve. I mean, that's the thing about fashion, is that something that you might have worn in the 70s or the 80s, or for you, probably the 80s and the 90s, it always comes back, but just in a different form. And because fabrics and textures and all of that are so different now, and they've gotten so much better, it's crazy to see what fabrics can do and how they can drape on your body.
Okay, so here's a question for you. What is your favorite time period so far in fashion?
You know, if you see on my Instagram, I have a client now who is totally into vintage. And I've been doing a lot of styling of her with vintage recently. And I have to tell you, I like vintage, but there's certain pieces that I really do like about vintage. Like, I love vintage jewelry and vintage belts and anything that's an accessory. And for me, or a jacket, not necessarily the base pieces, but I love taking those pieces and using it in a modern day twist. So that's something that I really enjoy.
Like, vintage to me is like probably, if I wear regular clothes, I would love things like that. Like the little accessories, if I were really into it, and which I'm mostly in workout gear, and you know that. But like the times I do get to wear other things, like I have an appreciation for that. And especially things that to me, even like that maybe my grandmother had.
Yes.
Things like that may have like a story to it or something. Yes. That just has that kind of attachment.
Right. And I think for me, it's the same thing. I have quite a few of my mother-in-law's purses. I have quite a few of my grandmother's scarves and a pair of gloves. And it really, it brings nice warm memories, don't you think?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I totally love that. Well, let's get started with, when did you fall in love with clothes and fashion? When did that start for you?
Okay, so this is funny. My parents think not so funny, but when I was a child, I was really into Barbie dolls, really into Barbies. And I used to dress them and make their clothes and cut and paste and do all of that. Besides, you know, all the stories and things that you can create and do your own little fashion show. So I still have my Barbies. Do you believe that?
No, do you have them all dressed up? I mean, do you have them like, or these?
They're naked because most of the clothes have disintegrated, truth be told. But I have loved fashion for forever. And my parents, the only way they could get me to behave, because I was so impy, I was such an impish child, always getting into trouble, is they would threaten to take away my Barbies. So one time they did that and I threw my body on the floor and had a temper tantrum and said, "You can't, they're my life." I have always, to tell you, have loved fashion. You know, even during high school, everybody was grunged out and here I was dressing up. You know, people wonder, why are you all dressed up? So it's just always kind of been my thing.
That's so cool. Did you immediately, like, did you go to college for fashion or did you, where did you start with that?
So I have actually a dual degree in fashion merchandising and marketing. And I went to school in Philadelphia and I actually did my first internship with Lord & Taylor's in the dress department. And then I later went on to work for Federated Department Stores and basically worked for a company called Bambergers. It's one of the department stores that was owned, that also owned like Macy's. So, and Lord & Taylor's and a few others. So I have been in the industry for a long time, but I will tell you a short story. When I moved down to North Carolina, I was doing store visuals and a girlfriend said to me, "Look, there's this new career going on out in LA." And we're talking, okay, almost 30 years ago. She said, "It's a personal shopper. I think you'd be really good at this." And I'm like, "Wow, well, how do I do this?" And so we kind of talked it through and that's how I started my business, is actually in clients' closets, because that's so much of what I do, is work in people's closets and do closet consultations and closet cleanouts. And that's a question for you. How much of your closet do you actually wear?
Probably not a lot. I wear a lot of the same thing right now, because I'm not out and about with people and at meetings and stuff. So yeah, a lot of it's just the same, I'm guilty, same workout gear.
And that's what I find, is that most clients only wear a third of what's in their closet. So my goal is, when I'm in somebody's closet, is to recreate looks and different things, that the combinations that they can wear so they can utilize more of the wardrobe. So that's one of the goals. And the other goal really is to get the stuff out that's not working for you, because really less is more.
Do you have people, when you've done that, do you have people that struggle to let go of things because there's attachment to it?
Yes. And there's really only so far that I will push it. And the attachment, this is interesting, is either something from a family heirloom, which I never touch, you know, or the dress they got engaged in, which is, or, you know, a wedding, something with a wedding. Of course, I never touch that. Or things that I have found over the years, people that might not have had the wealth or the comfort and finance that they have now, and they grew up having very little, then they're more apt to not want to get rid of things because they feel like they need to hold on to it. I'm not going to say hoard. That's another interesting thing. And really the goal is, why are you keeping this in your closet? When's the last time you wore it? Does it actually fit? That's the other thing, is that if you have things in your closet that no longer fit, is this something that you will round back to at some point? And really, you have to kind of be honest with yourself. Am I going to get back into that? And if not, I say pitch.
Yeah, there's so much emotional attachment with clothes. Like, as you're talking and I'm thinking about certain things I've held on to forever, I'm guilty. Right. And with that said, have you had somebody actually get rid of things that they may not have, just kind of talking through it? Have you seen any of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the funniest is I've even had clients come back and tell me, oh yeah, I put that back in my closet. And then I'll start laughing. And I always say, listen, I appreciate your honesty. And I'm going to ask you again a year from now, if you've done anything with that garment. So, you know, it's a really personal thing. And sometimes people do want to just hang on to things, but oftentimes, quite honestly, it's not for the right reasons. Because, you know, as you know, I don't know what you have range of sizes in your closet, but a lot of people have at least 3 or 4 sizes. And the reality is, are you actually going to get back to that size? Or if it's a larger size, why are you keeping the larger size in your closet? Because that's giving you an out. And that to me is not a good thing.
That's really interesting. You just don't realize how much clothing can actually hold you back.
Right.
I never really thought about it that way. And this leads into my next question, or kind of talking about clothes, you really try to help people feel good in the clothes that they're in. When somebody is struggling, how do you address that? Like if somebody comes to you and they're like, I need you to help me, you know, style for something or whatever, but they really struggle with just putting on clothes.
Well, you know, I think oftentimes, and I'm going to give you 2 examples of 2 different clients over the years without naming any names. People do struggle. They struggle. Everybody struggles with their body, and everybody looks in the mirror and finds things that they don't like about themselves. So I give them the grace period of saying, yeah, I really don't like my thighs, or I really don't like this. And then I'm like, okay, we're done. We all have parts of our body that we're not happy with necessarily. It's a matter of embracing it. And then I like the line, and you might have heard this one before. Well, I don't see any of that going on with you. And you don't have that problem. And that's when I do this. That is when I whip up my shirt or I whip down my pants and I say, you see this? We all have this. We all have this. We all have different things in our body that we might not be happy with, but it's more about embracing and accepting. So this past year, I had a teenage girl who was in her like 20, and she was getting ready to go to a family event. And it was a lot of tears in the fitting room, which broke my heart. And the best way I can serve a client and work with somebody through that is to teach them self-love, self-appreciation of who they are on the inside, that the outside doesn't necessarily reflect that, and that it's really okay. And where you are in your journey. And because, you know, I always see fashion as a journey, and where you are right now in your journey and how you are styling yourself might not be the same in years down the road. So it's more of acceptance, and let's find pieces that make you feel good, because we will find garments that make you feel good. And I've never lost a client to that who has not agreed that finding the right outfit really emphasizes parts of them that they really do like. When a client fills out a client profile to begin with, one of the questions that I ask them is their favorite feature and then their least favorite feature. I will know something about how they are about themselves and their body. And it's interesting to find whether or not they are going to be very negative about the body or if they're going to be at a time of self-acceptance. So for this young girl, by the time we were done, she was happy and there was a smile. And all I can do is encourage her to be her best and to feel her best. And beyond that, when somebody is ready for the help, and part of it for me is that the client has to be willing to accept my help. That's part of it. Another interesting client that I worked with was a man whose wife had left him, and he was not in a good space. And it was, how do you get this person who is down on himself, obviously has not taken good care of himself for a series of reasons. And, you know, you never can walk in somebody's shoes. So I have to be very careful. I can't judge. I can't, and I don't want to judge, and I don't want to call somebody out. So I try to bring a lot of lightness and levity to it and sense of humor, because, you know, we all just have to embrace where we are.
This is such an important message that you're talking about, self-love and embracing where you are in your life, embracing the body that you've been given, highlighting the things that make you not only feel good about yourself, that make you who you are, but you are really helping people, which is interesting because I didn't even think about this being a field that you're helping someone, because in my head, when you say, I'm going to go see a personal shopper, I'm going to go shopping, to me, that's like, you're in a happy place, like you're excited, like everything's good. And I'm sure you have a lot of that, but then to know that you also have this other side, because people are very vulnerable when they walk in a dressing room and they're trying clothes. Absolutely. Like that's such a, like, to me, it's like, it's opening the door and you're gonna see somebody like in that vulnerable state.
Right, and most people are uncomfortable with that. So I got no problem stripping down to where my client is just so they can feel more comfortable with the situation. And once they get used to me and I tell them, look, the first time is the hardest in working with me. After that, it's a breeze. You know me, I know you, I know your likes, I know your triggers, and you know, it's easy. But I want to tell you something else that I forgot to say. I was giving thought to this today. When I was 13, I was athletic, but I also was probably a little bit more on the heavier side. And at one point I started to do things that were not good for me, including, you know, binge eating. And then I didn't get into where I was throwing up, anything like that, but, you know, or not eating. And my parents noticed that. And so obviously, you know, I had body image issues back then. And I remember going to a pediatrician, you know, ones from years and years ago. He looked me dead in the eyes and he said, Suzanne, you are never going to be a svelte flower. You are always going to be considered a big girl and you're going to have to live with that. And I think that was like the turning point for me. I was like, guess what, buddy? I'm going to take your words and I'm going to do something more powerful to help others. And this is something that I have always felt very passionate about, that, you know, who was he to judge me and my body at 13 and where I was at that time? So here I am.
And I, as soon as I met you, there was like, it was awesome. Cause I've had that experience of being with you in your office and trying stuff on and you being straight with me about color and all that. But at the same time, I knew that there was a trust there and a sensitivity that if I didn't feel my best in something, like you were going to find things that made me feel good. And so I could say that firsthand and totally appreciate that. And just hearing, you know, you at 13 and those words being spoken to you and you come back and now you're a force of nature when it comes to style and you're helping people. And to me, that's like such a cool combination.
Well, it's interesting because to realize where you were and where you are now along this journey. And, you know, again, for me, it's been a process, no doubt. And it's a matter of self-love and self-acceptance. And I wouldn't trade that experience that I have that with clients. I would not trade that experience because it's something I really cherish.
Suzanne, what are some key tips on accentuating our positive attributes and downplaying the areas that we may not be too excited about?
All right, so the most important tips that I can give you is that you want to wear clothes that fit your body, that are not baggy, because you want to wear your clothes. You don't want your clothes to wear you. So keep that in mind, regardless of your weight loss or your weight gain. You always want to wear clothes that fit. Another tip is that you want to make sure that you know what styles of clothes best fit your body. And the best example is if you are large or busted, you want to wear a V-neck type of shirt versus a crew neck. So it's really important that you know what styles fit your body, what pants, whether where the pockets should be or skinny or flare. So know the styles that best fit your body. I think the most important tip I can give you is to make sure, because it makes a huge difference in how your clothes lay, that you have a proper bra fitting and that you're wearing the proper undergarments. And the reason why you want to do that is because if you have the right garment, undergarments on, then your clothes are going to lay differently on your body and it's going to be smoother and you won't necessarily see what you call imperfections. And again, my last tip is that you really want to wear clothes, especially colors up around your neck that are going to reflect up and give you a shine to your face. So remember, from the neck up is where you want to wear your color. If you want to camouflage certain aspects or things about your body besides, you know, wearing the right pant styles and tops, if you stand up straight, throw your shoulders back and you smile, it really makes a big difference. How you carry yourself.
Posture, it's so important. I can remember my mom, or my dad would do it too. We'd be walking, if and I was slouched over, they'd come up and like push right in the middle of where my shoulder blades were and like, pull your shoulders back,
My father used to say, neck in, chest out. I'm like, okay. I felt like I was in the army, yes.
In everything that we've talked about so far, it talks about loving ourselves, being kind to ourselves. And it's just, again, this is such an important thing because I think we can, we don't always show ourselves compassion. And when we think of it maybe internally and we don't think of like the external things necessarily. Right. So I think this is really awesome to talk about this in a way that's different than talking about in my side of things, which would be like fitness and health. You know, have compassion if you didn't get your workout in today. Have compassion if you didn't get that meal in at the right time. And this is like, have compassion and kindness to yourself with your wardrobe.
Right. As you grow as a person and an individual, your style and how you perceive yourself through your dress even is going to change and evolve. And quite honestly, if it doesn't, then there's a problem. There's a problem there. I feel like you should be experiencing different things through fashion with your own fashion as you age.
So I know that something that was really important to you, and I definitely want to give time for this, as you talked about the importance as women setting the example for your daughters, for your, you know, women that have children and being that example. And maybe if you don't have a daughter, just being an example in general for young women, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I do have an adult daughter and I always apologize to her. I said, you got a mother who's a stylist. I'm sorry. And so, you know, I think especially for daughters today, I think it's really important that you teach them to embrace and in love themselves, just like we want to do for ourselves, and not to judge and to be really realistic in our expectations more than anything else. That what you see through media, whether it's Instagram or TikTok or whatever, that isn't necessarily with bloggers and influencers the reality of today's woman. And the best example I can give you there is when I started my business, the average size was size 8-10. The average client now is size 14. Okay, so embrace where you are. Teach your daughter to love themselves, to not judge others. Do not judge others. You do not know where their journey has taken them with their health. And just because somebody might be too skinny or somebody might be too heavy in your eyes, you don't know the story behind that. And again, I think keeping them close and respect that you can have strong dialogue with them to make sure that they do feel good about themselves. So they don't do some of the stuff that I did when I was 13, because I wasn't feeling good about my own body.
Well, again, this is just such a good message for young women, for all women. I think that the non-judgment of yourself, and when you stop judging yourself, that's going to show.
Right.
Sometimes we don't even realize we're judging ourselves. And so it really, knowing that you've got other young women looking up to you, or like you said, you know, women that have daughters, like, it really is important just not judging yourself and having compassion, and they'll pick up on that.
They will. And not to watch, you know, you don't have to police what they're eating and they're doing 24/7. If you set the standard in your home, then they will follow that. And I really firmly believe that you set by example, and how you dress as a parent, the food that you put in your mouth, the exercise, and your everyday lifestyle. And if they hear you gossiping or being judgmental about somebody either on TV or somebody on the phone, then they're going to take that. So I think it's all about positive messaging. And I am thankful I don't have a teenager at this point in my life, because it would be very hard to have a teenager with the expectations of our society.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. Like, it's just, it's a completely different world now. And so the things that they face are much different, and the challenges are much harder.
Yes.
Well, you struck a chord with me when you talked about exercise, which I don't know if everybody knows this about you, but like, you're an athlete.
I am. Well, I like to pretend that I am, but so I was always a tennis player growing up, played singles, and then I burned out and stopped for a while. And then at a certain point, I decided I needed something more challenging in my life. So I started to train for triathlons. I did my first sprint like 5 years ago. And I've always been outdoorsy, a good, strong swimmer, always a strong swimmer. Biker, so this will make you laugh. My first sprint that I did, I borrowed a girlfriend's bike who was 5'2" and I'm 5'9". And I pedaled. I didn't even own a bike. I was like training on a bike that was like for somebody a whole lot smaller than I was. And then the running component has always been a challenge. Even though you're a tennis player, doesn't mean that you are a runner. So I really have enjoyed that process. It's been a big pivot. It's been unfortunate this past year that we haven't been able to do any. My other big goal that I wanted to do was I ran my first half marathon in 2020. It was right before COVID hit. So, and I really look forward to that, but I love the act of the challenge of trying to do something that will require a lot of work and a lot of training. So it's been different. It's been a different type of pivot since COVID. So now I've been doing a lot of weightlifting, and I've been doing I'm not training as hard. I've been doing TRX. So again, for me, it's a journey because I'm not getting any younger, and the older you get, the harder it is on the body to keep up with all of this. So
it's amazing. I love hearing, I love it that you're like the stylist in fashion. And then I just love it even more that you love being active, and that and then when you told me that you were an athlete, like, man, I love that, because that's how we should be. Like, if you're active and right. You do like any type of races, like, you're an athlete. Like, that's like, I love the ownership that you take in that. I just think it's awesome.
Thank you. I can't wait to get back into it. I've got a small race this weekend, but again, it's the challenge. And listen, people don't recognize me. I love it. No hair, no makeup, hair on top of the head, and I'm out.
I love it. Okay. So do you have a favorite song that you have to have on your playlist? Like, every time, is there one that you listen to that just fires you up for when you get to do a race?
So this is going to make you laugh. Here we go. So instead of listening to music, I listen to podcasts when I train. And the reason why I include in your podcast, and the reason why I do that, is because I need a distraction. I don't need to be pumped up. I'm already pumped up because I want to work as hard as I can. So I listen to anything from a podcast to TED Talks to books on tape. When I did my half marathon, I listened to a book on tape. I know, it's a little bizarre.
No, but it's true. Like, I think there's certain times, like, and I've talked with other people too. There are certain moments that, like, if I'm running, I would rather listen to a podcast. If I'm doing some type of cardio, now if I'm doing strength training, I want music. So it just kind of depends, but yeah, I feel you on that. Cause sometimes you need your brain just to be distracted while you're doing the activity.
Yes. Yes. Because actually, if I think too much about it, then I really get into my head. So who needs that, right? I'm already in my head enough.
I don't need any more of that. Okay. So as we wrap up, what is something else on your heart you'd like to share with our listeners?
So I really would like to say that it's really important to be open to change. as life really begins at the end of your comfort zone. So when I'm least comfortable is really when I excel, because I have to grow as a person in that moment. And it allows you to be open to the possibilities that life has to offer. So when I have been training and trying to pivot this year and everything with COVID, I have always remembered that the motto of relentless movement forward, to move forward. So that's my story.
I love it. This is a beautiful way to wrap up this podcast. And before I let you go, you have to tell us where we can get in touch with you. Where can we find you?
Where you can, okay, so you can find me on Instagram, which is Suzanne Lipfrane, and I'm sure you'll see that. And I give a lot of tips, which I love, fashion tips and for men and women, and do a lot of videos so people can see concrete ideas. Or you can go to my website, which is Suzanne at SuzanneLipfrane.com. I'm hard to miss.
And I love your videos. They're always so much fun, and you never know who's going to show up.
That's right. You never know who's going to show up.
Never know.
It's all fun.
No, I love it. I thank you so much for being on today and sharing your heart and really helping us, helping me get a better view of what clothing does for me as a person, and you know how it really does affect not just how I feel, but how I like walk through this world with right. confidence. And so I just like, thank you for that. I think this was a really, the whole message is just beautiful. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.